Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, where we discuss all things leadership, like what it takes to be a great leader, challenges to overcome, and of course, tips to help leaders continually develop. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner coaching consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. I aim to provide effective leadership coaching, consulting, and our community to help you develop, retain those employees, and of course, help improve that bottom line. You can check it all out at our division, amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Claire Chandler, Executive Leadership Advisor and the President and Founder of Talent Boost. Claire specializes in aligning HR and business leaders. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tara. It's so great to be here.
I'd love to have you here. So I do like to get started with, you know, letting our audience know a little bit more about you and your leadership background. So I'll hand that over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a solopreneur. I started my business practice, Talent Boost, in 2013. So I am celebrating hitting that 10-year milestone, which is super exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm a self-professed corporate survivor. So I spent the first 20 years or so of my career within the walls of corporate. And now I advise corporate from the outside on all things leadership, culture, and growth. And like most leaders, I didn't start out as a leader. I started out as an individual contributor. And my reward for being a high performer was that I was elevated into a management position. And like most leaders, I was never handed that guide on how to be a good leader. And I really had to figure that out, you know, learn it on the job. But it's been a wonderful journey of self-discovery and of tripping over landmines and learning, you know, more through mistakes. I find that my experience, as most people do, you learn much more from your stumbles than you do from your successes. And so my leadership journey has been everything from self-leadership to leadership of people and teams to now leading a business and a practice that I really, really love.
That's awesome. And we do need a guide. I was the same as you. I grew into leadership through various roles and there is no guide out there. So, you know, maybe that's the next book that I should be writing is something about, you know, guide to leadership. But that is
Absolutely.
A really good point, right? I mean, so many people grow into it or some get thrown into it and they don't truly know how to lead. So that was a good point that you made. Let's start with finding out what is that biggest challenge that you had to overcome while you were without that guide, right?
Yeah.
While you were growing, what was that biggest obstacle for you?
Without question, my biggest challenge, my biggest obstacle occurred in 2011.
Okay.
So I was still in corporate at the time. I was the vice president of human resources for a large global organization. I was traveling like crazy. My calendar was, you know, scary filled. And I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh.
And that was in the spring of 2011. And it was one of those things that, you know, first of all, is shocking. You know, when I got the call, I literally, you know, hung up the phone from the doctor and kind of dropped to my knees. It's one of those things that I'm sure anybody who has gone through a cancer experience will tell you. It permanently divided my life between before and after, right? Everything that come before it, and it forced me to literally stop working for a month to go and deal with this, to have surgery and to have treatment and to recover, and you know, to say that that was my biggest challenge is kind of an understatement because of course I had to grapple with, you know, big things like, am I going to beat this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to recover? Am I going to feel the same about my life and my work when I get through this? And the gift that it gave me, because, you know, as I said, we learn, or at least I learn more from my setbacks and my challenges than from things that go smoothly. But it gave me this gift because while I was off work for a month and I had a great team and I literally had to delegate everything, you know, I didn't check email for the first 3 weeks of the 4 weeks I was on leave, which was unheard of, right?
Yeah.
Nothing fell apart. I had a fantastic team and they kept everything running. But the gift that cancer gave me was that while I was recovering and sitting in the silence, I finally could not outrun that voice in my head that had been trying to ask me for too long, are you doing what you're passionate about? And I had to acknowledge that even though I had a great team, I was within a company that I had been in for close to 15 years. The answer was no, that the track that I was on, you know, this executive track to take over all of human resources, was not what was lighting me up. Mm-hmm. And I found that once you have an answer to a question like that, you have to do something about it. And so I got healthy. I went back to work and I, you know, sort of negotiated my release. I worked for several more months there, but then I moved on from the company later in 2011, and then took about 2 years to kind of figure out what I was going to build a business around, which is why I founded Talent Boost 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, it does take some of those life challenges just to change us. Or you see things differently. I mean, when I left my corporate world to do my own business, I did the same thing, gave months notice. You know, you're a leader and you're proud of your team, and you don't want to just say, oh, here's my 2 weeks or whatever, you know? Right. And so you feel that you've learned that through your growth as well. I want to touch back on something that you mentioned pretty quickly, but I think it's very important to touch on, is about being able to take that time off when we need it. I had to have a surgery myself a few years ago, and I was off for 8 weeks, I believe it was, and I didn't touch the email. And I think it's very, very important as leaders that we make sure that we've delegated and trained enough that should something happen, or we get a diagnosis, or we need an emergency surgery, or whatever that is, that we don't have to check those emails or worry about our team because we know they're good. Is that how you felt about it as well?
Completely. You know, one of the chapters in that guide to good leadership that you're going to read has to talk about delegation. Mm-hmm. I know for me, when I was a manager in my earlier years, delegation was something that I struggled with, and most people do. When you either aspire to leadership, or as you said earlier, are thrown into leadership, mm-hmm. You go from being an individual contributor where everything, passes or fails on your own effort. It is really hard to make that transition and to let go of things. Mm-hmm. And so delegation for me was one of those things that I learn and I find that other leaders learn out of necessity, not out of practice.
Exactly.
And so as an early manager, I was forced to delegate because I was put on a task force for several months. We were working with a consultant who was reorganizing the company or something. And it was one of those, you're going to be on this task force for 6 months. You will not be able to work in your normal job. You have to delegate everything. And prior to that, I had struggled with that. I didn't know how to let go of the day-to-day. Part of that is being a control freak. That's why I'm a soldier. part of that is this sense of guilt that I'm going to ask somebody else to do something instead of doing it myself. And you have to mm-hmm. overcome that. And so I think the most effective way that I learned how to delegate, and a lot of people do, is because they're forced to, not because they've kind of figured out how to do it effectively.
Yeah, I agree. I think that happens a lot, which I think we really need to prepare for these things. You know, like, we aren't the specialist. We have people on our teams to be the specialists. Let's lead them. Let's make sure we have cross training done, you know, on whatever possible that we can. I mean, sometimes there's things that leaders may have to make the decisions, or maybe they deal with the budget and it's not permitted to share it, whatever that might be. But whatever we can cross train and delegate on, it allows us to take vacation too, which can help, you know, avoid some health issues like mental health and stuff like that we take our vacations so without true. Work, right?
So true. Well, and there's another thing, right? It's like when that call came in 2011, I had no choice but to take time off.
Yeah.
And prior to that, it was sort of, you know, that mentality that so many corporate leaders face, which is, it is never a good time to take vacation. I can't leave my team. I can't take my eye off the ball. And to your point, it is so important to give yourself that space and that grace to take a step back from your business, whether you are a full-time employee or you are running your own business. We were just talking right before you started recording this about the fact that we both coincidentally have just gone on vacation. And whether it was a short vacation or a long one, it gives you such perspective. It gives you this opportunity to recharge and to lift your head out of the foxhole of the day-to-day firefighting and really understand things from a more strategic point of view, and it just makes you a better leader.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. So as we talk about delegation and being able to go away, or even if emergencies come up, let's switch to communicating that with our teams. And, you know, you had that example of suddenly 6 months, you're going to be on another team. Like, how did you use communication as a leader to help them understand these changes, help them understand maybe when you had to go off, when you got that phone call? You know, what did you do around communication for your team?
Yeah, it's so interesting because every client organization that I get the honor to work with, one of the biggest pain points they have is around communication, lack of communication, inconsistency of communication, ineffectiveness. You know, communication, even when we are speaking the same language, tends to create disconnects. And so I think, first of all, communication is fundamental to effective leadership, wherever you are in
Absolutely.
That organization, right? And I think the two elements of communication that make it so effective, I would say, are consistency and conviction. And what I mean by that is consistency is kind of a no-brainer, right? But it is so, it's shocking how bad a lot of leaders are at communicating in a very consistent way. And it doesn't mean reading from the same script all the time, but it does mean that you don't send a message one day that you contradict on the next. So consistency is very important. And part of the way that you get to better consistency is through the second element, which is conviction. There's a really big difference between speaking with conviction and speaking with an attempt to convince someone. Mm-hmm. And I learned pretty early on that the people who are truly authentic, effective leaders speak from a place of conviction. They don't stand there and speak on brand and try to convince you why their way, their strategy, their mindset is the right one. They stand in their personal belief, which is in alignment with where they want the company to go and to grow. And they speak from a place of purpose and intentionality and why, right? And so, I coach and counsel and advise leaders all the time. And I have to remind them, take those extra few seconds when you are communicating with employees to explain the why behind the ask, the why behind the message, the why behind the edict, or the, you know, what you're asking them to bring to the table. We are so hungry for it. And so many leaders skip that step and they don't understand how crucial it is to building engagement. So long-winded answer to your question around communication, but I think those two elements are so fundamental to effective communication. It's consistency and it's conviction.
And I love that you brought up purpose and why. I've wrote blog posts on this and, you know, a few months ago did a Tip Thursday on my podcast about that. It is so important, not just for the leaders to know what's going on, but if your team doesn't know why they're there every day, they're going to put that widget in the machine and go home. And they don't care about maybe the quality or whatever. If they know that that widget is going to go on, let's pretend, like a medical device that's going to save a life, how do you think you're going to feel about quality now, right?
Sure.
Everybody needs their why. And I am so thankful you brought that up because it is such a key piece to anybody's job in an organization for an organization to be successful. So yeah, love that. I also wanted to touch back on the consistency as well. This is the beginning of when I was working, had, a manager where one day he said something, the next day it changed. And so I started going, you know, he said this, I go back to my desk, type an email to confirm this is what you were asking me to do. Because, you know, then if it came back and said, that's not what I said, I'll say, but you confirmed that to me. So let's talk about what it is you need me to do now. I think consistency is something that is lacking. I agree with you. And I think it really needs to be a key piece as well of leadership.
Well, and it spawns bad behavior, right?
Yes.
So when you think about just that example, it happens so often in organizations. And what ends up happening is you as the employee, as the recipient of those two conflicting messages, you learn that you have to cover your trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of censor that expression. By documenting, this is the conversation we just had. And I wanted to confirm that that's what you said. And now the leader is starting to look at you saying, why do they feel the need to do that? And, you know, and they start to look at you in a different light, which is not necessarily 100% positive. And it's not your fault. It's something that they've created. And so now we've got this cycle that you're spinning because the leaders do not understand. I think one of the biggest reasons, you know, deep down they're insecure. Most leaders, I know I always was as a leader. I was always sort of, you know, wrestling with that imposter syndrome. You know, am I doing right by my people? And so when there is inconsistency, you know, we start to kind of feed that doubt. But part of that lack of confidence is underestimating the impact of our words on other people.
Yeah.
Our employees are thirsty for the why, they're hungry for it, but they also, you know, they do put a lot of weight on what their leaders say, what their leaders do, what they believe. And so consistency is key. And I think consistency helps build self-confidence, which is going to then replicate more consistency and more conviction.
And I think I want to touch on something that you mentioned briefly earlier when it comes to that, and is we may all speak the same language, but that doesn't mean that we're hearing the same thing. I mean, I once read that we take in millions of bits of information every second with our five senses. How can we all possibly hear the exact same thing the exact same way? And so, you know, communication becomes so important. You know, and my experience was frustrating for me because now I'm adding a step in there because that person might change their mind, right?
Like you didn't already have enough work on your plate.
Exactly.
Now you build in time to go document a conversation you had with your boss. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was always frustrating too, because you never know, are they going to say, that's not what I said? And it turned out we had a good relationship because we started talking more about it. So, but again, it was something that I felt what shouldn't be needed, but as an employee, you feel you need to cover your trail.
So I want to key in on something that you just said. You worked through that because you had a good relationship with your boss. I think too often, and again, this kind of speaks back to this latent insecurity or imposter syndrome that we all as humans have, and leaders have it even more amplified, and they tend not to admit to it. You know, it is the fact that a lot of leaders do not know how to receive feedback. Fortunate in the relationship that you had, that even though, you know, this person created frustration and actually added work to your plate because of his contradictory messages, he was receptive enough to the feedback that you both evolved your relationship in a positive direction. A lot of leaders don't do that. They can't handle that. And their culture and their teams suffer as a result.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I was very fortunate. I really was, because it only took us a couple months and we figured it out, how to communicate with each other, things like that. But I think that's a key piece as well. Leaders, they need to figure out how to communicate with each and every person individually, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So what do you think would be like one of the biggest pieces of leadership that would help us all with maybe better communication around these things, or when emergencies come up and we're not there? What is the biggest part of that for you?
So I think it's a couple of things, right? Communication, as we already said, is sort of foundational, but it starts even more locally than that. I think all leaders, all individual contributors for that matter, all people have a much greater chance of success and what I'll call followability, especially as leaders, if they have two traits. One is self-awareness. You know, this boss that you just referenced had enough self-awareness to acknowledge that he didn't do everything perfectly. And he was receptive to feedback. You have to be deeply self-aware to understand that. But the most effective leaders are self-aware. They truly do understand what they have and what they lack, right? What they are naturally good at and what they are not. I see too often leaders who are not self-aware, who just sort of see charismatic leaders within their orbit and then emulate that style. And it tends to fail magnificently because they are emulating a style or trying to copy traits that don't come naturally to them. So being deeply self-aware of you know, what your fast lanes are, what your genius zone is, what your truly natural personality is really, really key. And then the second piece to that is, once you're deeply self-aware of what you have and what you lack, it's authenticity. is being genuine, right? It's not copying somebody else's style. Sure, you can admire that and you can try to evolve toward, you know, better soft skills, more commanding presence, speaking with conviction, all of those things. But being truly authentic to your unique personality, to your deeply seated why, so that you can stand in conviction rather than try to convince, right? It goes such a long way, because I think leaders forget that the role of a leader is not a role that they play. They're not actors. It's not a persona. Yeah. It's a responsibility, and it's an awesome one, right? That they need to really understand that they are duty bound. Yes, to lead in a direction that's followable, but the best way to do that is to remember that they are human first, and that is the best way to make connections with the team that they are trying to lead. So that self-awareness and authenticity, to me, are part and parcel of what make a really effective, followable, successful leader.
And I think, you know, self-awareness, self-reflection as a leader are very important to know. Like, if you are struggling as a leader, maybe you do need to take a look inside first before you look outside, because perhaps there's something there that you need further development in. You know, some people are natural leaders and some people just never will be, you know, and it can make the difference between a good and a bad leader as well, that lack of self-awareness if they don't have it. So yeah, I agree.
And this is where having that really clogged calendar becomes an excuse,
yeah.
Right? A lot of leaders will show you their calendar, which is like, you couldn't even insert a business card in between appointments.
Mine was like that, yeah.
Right? And they convince themselves that is the hallmark of a good leader. Well, look at how busy I am. And really, it's an excuse not to do what you just said, which is spend time in self-reflection. This is why going back to your beating the drum about taking vacation is so important, because as leaders, especially the higher up you go, and I'm talking to those CEOs out there who never truly take a break. If you don't spend time, not just reflecting on your business, but reflecting on yourself and how you're showing up and the degree to which that is in alignment or out of alignment with who you truly are and what you deeply believe. If you're not doing that work, you're not being authentic and you're not having fun. Like, is that enjoyable? Because I'm going to challenge you that it's probably not.
Yeah. And I remember my calendar being full as one of the leaders in our global organization. And it was frustrating because I wanted to have time in there for myself and my team, you know, and sometimes I would just decline meetings that I knew that they were just inviting me because everybody gets invited, you know, because you just needed that time available for your team. I hate being locked up for a day in my office, you know? Yeah. I think, you know, that break that we talked about, vacations, your self-reflection, even lunch, 100% needed. Take it. It's recharging. It's reflection.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's one of the first things that I work on when I'm advising leaders, and especially if I'm coaching them one-on-one, like one of the very first sessions we work on is taking back control of your calendar. Because to your point, it explodes with all of these recurring meetings that stopped bringing value, if they ever did, long time ago. And you just keep going through the motions. We have too many meetings. They are wastes of time. If they are not decision meetings, if they are not action oriented, if they are not there to solve problems, get them off your calendar.
100% agree. Yeah. I did a tip Thursday back in the fall on that as well. how to manage those crazy meetings. Because it's so difficult. Even as a leader, when you're holding the meeting, who needs to be there? Needs to be there. 100% needs to, right? Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we finish up our conversation today with you giving us that one big tip that you want to share, that thing, that key takeaway?
Yeah. So for me, I want to kind of bust a myth very quickly that a lot of leaders have around culture. First of all, that culture is not business critical, and it absolutely 100% is fundamental and foundational to your business. But the myth that a lot of leaders have is that the culture of their organization bubbles up from the ground level. And it is absolutely not true. And so I think the biggest takeaway for your audience to understand is that leaders and the behavior of those leaders has the biggest impact on your culture. Leaders shape culture, and culture drives success, or it can destroy it. And so I would say the biggest takeaway for your audience is to truly understand that, truly understand the awesome responsibility you have as leaders to shape the type of culture that you're going to need to drive perpetual growth.
Great tip to finalize our conversation today. That's absolutely the truth. People see it the other way around all the time, but if we don't lead by example for our culture, how can we build one? 100% agree with you. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there a way people can find you online if they're interested in learning more about you?
Absolutely. So I have two websites, talentboost.net, which is my company site. And then my more personal quirky site is clairechandler.net. And then LinkedIn is my social media of choice. I'm on the others, but really, reach out on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Claire. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks. Same here. It was great to be here.
Thank you to our listeners as well. We do hope you gained a key takeaway or two during our episode today. If you are in need of some leadership coaching, consulting, or you want to learn more about our leadership community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, the Twin Life Coaching and Business Services Division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leaders to be.